Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the show. This is the Brown Vegan Podcast. I'm Monique, and I enjoy interviewing guests about veganism, overall wellness, and vegan entrepreneurship. This is truly a lifestyle podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave a review to help others find us. You can leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Also, come hang out with me on YouTube. I'm Brown Vegan over there for recipes and vegan tips. And as always, you can get the show notes and everything we mentioned in this episode at brownvegan.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So my first question, I just need to know how you're doing. What's going on? It's been, what, 3 or 4 months since the last time we spoke? God, or has it been longer than that?
I think it's been longer. I feel like it's been longer. I don't know. What was that? Was that January or December?
Wow, it was that long ago?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Time be flying. Like, time truly flies. Literally.
The interesting thing is, I feel like this year is going... I don't know. I feel like it's going slow. So that's wild that was that long ago that we spoke. So anyway, how are you doing since the last time we spoke?
Girl, I've been doing good. There's a lot of different life transitions happening, but it's good. Our oldest girl, she's graduated from high school this year. So we got that going on in the midst of, of course we had all the different celebratory things that happens, you know, for senior year. So you got the prom, you know, graduation coming up next week. Then in the midst of that, still have my own things that I'm doing and have transitioned into. So just staying afloat and not letting overwhelm happen. That's been my biggest, you know, fight. It's not allowing overwhelm to happen.
Yes. It's easy to do. Very, very easy to do.
Yeah.
It's crazy because my youngest is graduating next week and you're... Oldest is graduating next week.
Oh my gosh. So but how old is your oldest?
21.
Okay.
So 21, 19, and 18.
Oh, you got stair steps. Okay.
I do. Craziness. It's craziness. But you, so it's like for you, you're like starting over again. You're like my best friend. So she had, when we were younger, she had two kids. And then when we got older, she had two more kids. Okay. So she got like, one going to middle school and one is about to start kindergarten kind of thing. And then she got, yeah. So you pretty much did the same thing in a way, right?
I don't have them going that a little bit. But I got gaps. So, well, first of all, we're blended. That's number one. So that has been like a journey in itself, figuring out that dynamic and just learning how to flow with that and giving everybody a space what needed to and see. Because I've realized it blended. Is that people begin to feel like they don't have a place and that, you know, you're trying to overtake something, but that's not been the case at all. Mm-hmm. So learning how to decipher that and navigate through that has been a whole journey in the past. We've been married almost, 9 years this October.
Wow.
And still dealing with stuff that I thought we was past, you know, from the outside people, you know, but it's, so they, our ages are 18, 15, and then I got a gap of, it's 18, 15,
12, right?
Yeah, about to be, but she's about to be 13 next week. And then, what we got for next, and then 7.
Yeah.
So it's something like that. But then what's crazy, what's funny is that I happened about doing it again.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Wait. Did I hear that wrong?
No. I have thought about doing it again.
Wow.
And it's still kind of on the table a little bit because just being candid, I want a vegan pregnancy. I haven't had a vegan pregnancy.
That's why you want a baby, though?
A little bit. I mean, that's part of it, but not all the way. You know, of course, other stuff. But
that's why you want a baby for a vegan pregnancy. This baby going to be here after the pregnancy.
Right.
Y'all know if that's a good idea.
But no, because for real, because I have, because one of with our son, because the older three are girls and the youngest was a boy, so 7-year-old. And so with him, that's when a lot of my different health issues that led me into veganism occurred. And so one of the things that me and my husband talked about was that how, and I had to be honest with myself too, was that why I didn't want to do it again necessarily after that, was that I fought against fear of, like, you know, would this happen again? You know, would those health things happen again? Or would, you know, I get sick again? Because I got really sick. I had, even after I gave birth, I had to be in the hospital for like a week afterwards. And gestational diabetes, and which was a whole just, oh God. And then that's afterwards, after I delivered, that's when all the other stuff that happened that I had, which led me into veganism, started rising up. But one thing I tell my clientele, I talk about a lot of times too, even on my different platforms, is that I'm under the belief, and I know too, that a lot of those things that came up, those disorders, were already lying dormant. It was just that their pregnancy is what kind of like kickstarted to come forward. It's what triggered it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you decided to go vegan for health reasons, obviously, it sounds like. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But so, I know you told me that you have been like diving into being more alkaline. So what made you do that? Because it's one thing to be able to be vegan. And I feel like in so many ways we can eat whatever we want. There's so many options. I know people who aren't vegan don't see that, but there's so many options. But to me, I feel like being alkaline is even more limiting. I'm like, oh no. So what made you decide that is the direction you want to go in?
So that is very much, you know, that's a great point you just made as far as how it, even from the outside, when you come in, from the outside looking in, so veganism as a whole, it can seem limiting, right? But I would even beg to say that going forward, I mean, going even into from inside of veganism, looking into alkaline, that is the same limiting belief as well. It's a belief versus more so being a reality, because what happens is a lot of times what we don't realize is that we kind of already doing a lot of stuff anyway, or eating a lot of those things anyway, just from being vegan, especially if you it's just somebody who more so, you know, on the whole food basis versus, you know, a lot of the processed foods, which I already had did anyway. Of course, you know, we first transition, you know, a lot of us, we cross that bridge, you know, with the different processed foods, the faux meat, stuff like that. And if you choose to keep it, that's fine too. However, with me being more so on a health conscious reasoning, I started to see what those things were serving my wellness in the way that I wanted to. And so it started with me just leaving a lot of the processed foods alone and just finding ways to, you know, eat more of the whole foods, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, grains, stuff like that. So then from there, as I started doing that, I started realizing how my body, even when I would try to go back to eat something, like, because I still have like maybe, I might have a, you know how you have a craving for something every once in a while, so I might have like a Beyond Burger or something like that. But I started realizing how even when I eat those things, first it was, let me take it back further, the soy intolerance, okay? Because initially, I didn't have that issue. Like, it was fine. I would have, you know, my tofu here and there. I even learned how to make seitan, you know, really good. Because at first I was like, I don't know how to make this stuff. And I figured that I really had mastered that skill. And then I started having like this. And I was even using, after my workouts, the vegan protein, which, you know, a lot of that is pea powder based. But even that started causing all these irritants and intolerances, like, you know, my stomach and stuff. And so I'm like, what's going on? So after just like realizing, okay, like, let me, and again, with having a background in like biology and stuff, we've always was taught that in a case study, you want to take away something and then see what the result is and then introduce it back to see what the variable is, right? So when I started doing that, using that process, and that hypothesis with even just in my wellness, I started seeing how every time I would bring something back that was within those categories of having, like I just said, the soy, the processed foods, or even the like seitan and stuff like that, how it would be such a big difference in, you know, the next day and how I felt. It made a difference in my digestive system, and you know, not even TMI, but even in my poop, like all of that. So I'm like, okay, what is this? So then I was reminded of how, you know, so eating is more of the whole foods after that. But then way back, right, I had tried alkaline, like when I first started transitioning back in, what year was that? That was 2017 when I first transitioned. So about 6 years now, a little over 6 years. And I had a friend of mine had introduced me. She wasn't even vegan, she introduced me. She's like, have you ever heard of alkaline vegan? I was like, no, what is that? And she was like, girl, that's the people where they be healing for real. And I was like, what? Okay. And so I found this Facebook group and they vetted me. They let me in. I had to get vetted and interviewed. It was really.
Wait a minute. What did that look like? What are you talking about? Wait. Oh, wait. Before you get into that, are you tapping your desk?
Yeah.
Stop tapping it, girl. You must be over there talking with your hands.
I talk real extra, yeah. Sorry, y'all. Sorry.
Stop tapping. You know I'm not editing this. So you go tap that desk.
All right, we're not editing. Y'all gonna hear the tap. That means I'm into it. Yes, I'm in it.
But yeah, so what do you mean you had to get vetted to get in this Facebook group?
Girl, so they asked me all these questions. I don't remember what the question was. I know it was like a questionnaire though. Like, cause they try to make sure, as you know, it's I guess just to be on the up and up side, I guess it's somewhat of like a conspiracy theory with some of that stuff. So they be trying to make sure people that are coming in there to try to like take over or try to expose certain stuff.
Or troll them or whatever.
Or troll them, yeah. If you know that whole Sebi stuff, Dr. Sebi. So I had to ask all these questions like, okay, you know, why are you coming in here? What's your need? And it was a whole interview. I'm like, okay. So it was a turnaround time of maybe like 2 or 3 days. They let me in. So then from there, but I'm going to tell you, Monique, when they let me in, the wealth of information, oh my gosh. Girl, I was going back the other day in my phone looking for stuff. I'm looking for pictures. With our daughter. So then my daughter graduating, and also my firstborn nephew, he graduating this year too. So they both graduating. So I've been searching for pictures because we do all different stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was going through my phone and I found where I used to be in there screenshotting stuff because and downloading stuff because I didn't know if it's going to let, you know, if I was going to put out. So I used to be holding information.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had was seeing that. So that's what I was saying. So that was like I said early on, I first was transitioning. And so I was applying some of the principles they were saying. And I was like, oh my God, like this is like, they gave you like a list of the different foods, right? And you feel real like, oh my God, a list. I'm already not eating, blah, blah. I want no list of what to eat. I wouldn't be able to eat. So I stuck to what they were saying a little bit. Girl, let me tell you, I put my mind to it. I did it for like almost 2 weeks, but let me tell you, in those 2 weeks, Monique, girl, you're talking about like within the first 2 days, the weight started falling off, like just the way I felt. And it's like immediate, your body, like it's an immediate response to it because I think, and I'm going to truly say this because of just how it's God's original foods. It doesn't even have like it's because the foods are like non-hybrid, you know, seeded stuff, you know, non-processed. You ain't supposed to even eat out of certain, you ain't supposed to even eat out of cans. It's really like intentional. I'm going to say it like that. But after those 2 weeks, I was like, yeah, this, I don't know. At the time, it was just too much, you know, at the time.
Right.
I was just transitioning. I still, you know, my kids was real little back then. We were still little back then, especially my son. He was like a baby. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep the principles in mind, but I ain't able to do this. So, fast forward back to now, current day. I must within this year, this year I became serious about transitioning and eating more. Even if it's not 100%, I set my goal to be consuming at least 70% alkaline foods.
I think that's a great goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's manageable for sure. I mean, because I always thought that people who were alkaline, they were just 100%.
Mm-mm.
And there wasn't really room for flexibility. But, I mean, I feel like just in this lifestyle in general, just people just make it what they make it. They make it what they want it to be. And I think that's important to know.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's been good. That's been a good space for me because one thing I realized too, like I was saying early on, is with not allowing overwhelm to come in. One of the things that I was shown too is that sometimes in our wellness, we allow overwhelm to come in too. And with being a wellness coach, that's why a lot of times we quit. So I started noticing that pattern, and like even with the clients I work with in my wellness business, is that they would a lot of times not want to, they wouldn't stick to it because they didn't want to. They come in, you know, on fire, oh yeah, I'm ready to do this, I want to blah blah, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, because they know that most times people I work with have either already gotten a diagnosis or they know something right within their body. Mm-hmm. So now they or they've seen other people in their family, you know, deal with different health or disorders and ailments. So they try to be proactive and preventive. So they know what can come or what has happened or is happening. So they know what they want to do. But what happens sometimes, we can put too much pressure on ourselves. And even sometimes as coaches, we can do that. As wellness professionals, we can do that too, because people need to be able to know that they're trying to bite off too much at once, but not realizing that it's this, because your brain wants consistency. You know what I mean? Your mind will see consistency. So even if it's just one day a week, even if it's just that one, whatever, you know, you choose to stick to for that time, when your brain starts seeing that consistency, that's what's going to eventually roll over into the more so permanency of it. And you seeing, hey, I can do this, it's possible. And then that's creating a more positive mindset and thought pattern towards your goal versus freaking, I can't do this, can't do that. And I always take the mindset of, so the same things I teach my client, I apply to myself. You know, it starts at home first, right? Mm-hmm. So I apply it to myself too, because like, you got to be able to see that you can do it. Because sometimes we don't think that it's always, I always say, we look at what we can't, stop looking at what you can't do versus all that you can do. And you can consume, or, you know, can happen, whatever it is that you're, you know, pursuing. Look at all the possibilities that are available versus what you think aren't available.
Mm-hmm. That's so.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So important. And let's talk about like some of the baby steps that people can take as far as dealing with the overwhelm, because that shit is real. As far as like trying to eat well, trying to exercise, trying to be there for their families, just like you were saying, like when your schedule is busy, mm-hmm. What are some of the baby steps?
I would definitely say the first step would be decide. The first baby step would be focus on one thing at a time. So if your first step is going to be, if you want to say you want to start incorporating that more movement, don't even call it exercise, movements, right? Mm-hmm. So start by setting that goal. Like I just, okay.
Thank you for saying that. I got to jump in because I thank you so much for saying movement. Yeah. I love that so much. That helped me to get back into the gym.
Yeah.
Just saying I'm moving. I'm taking care of myself. I'm showing up for myself. Because that weight loss, saying I wanted to lose weight, even though I know I need to lose weight, it didn't help me. That wasn't a good enough motivation. So
the food is good, so
you ain't lying, right?
Oh yeah, that's good, absolutely. And saying, you know, likewise, and again, like I said, starts at home first, right? So it's the things, that's one thing I made sure I teach in my courses and in my programs, is that it's tried and true, because this is what I have done and am doing, you know. So I would say, so say your first step is movement, then if you want to start with movement, so just find ways to incorporate more movement into your day. So you got to be intentional. So let's say you set a goal of like what I had to start doing was one. At first I set a goal for, let's say, even though I do exercise 3 days a week and stuff, as far as with actual, like, whether it's cardiovascular or strength training, just movement, I did want to start doing more movement. So I had set first a 10, I would say, I'm gonna do 2 10K a day. But girl, I started realizing, wait a minute, that's you gotta stretch to get there. That's a stretch. We don't realize just how idle we are, you know what I mean, as a people. Because we sit at these jobs, we sit to drive to these jobs, we sit to drive to go places. Even if you know, even people who like catch buses, like you still gotta you walk to the bus stop, and then you sitting on the bus, you know, to get where you're going at. So we sit so much in our daily lives that we don't even realize how much of a stretch it is to actually get to 10K. So then I revisit and I say, okay, I'm gonna say they go for 5K. So that's what I'm doing. So I break it down to 5K. That's more like, again, like I said, achievable, because your goal, your brain wants to see that you're achieving something, and that's what's going to build up that muscle. I should say that, like that faith and that resilience muscle to keep you going, and that you can actually do it. So I started with 5K, and I've been hitting it. So I've been making sure, like, and if you look at like all my stories yesterday, I was sharing how I was a little behind it, but I got up anyway. Had asked my husband, "Hey, can you go me for a walk?" It was in the evening. We went for an evening walk, and I met my goal. I got over like 5,100 steps. So it takes some intention, but start with something small that you know it's gonna allow you to push a little bit, but it's not gonna be so uncomfortable that you feel like that you get overwhelmed and be like, forget it, I ain't doing it at all. It's just too much.
Yeah, the thing that has helped me, like I told you, we were talking about this on Instagram the other day about how I get up at, you know, speaking of jobs and all of that, I get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Between 4 and 7 is my time. Well, more like 7:30 is my time. And then okay. I go to work because I was noticing that I was coming home from work and I didn't want to do anything because I gave them everything. Right. So having that time in the morning made a huge difference for me. I remember when I first started working out, I was like in pain. I was like hurting, like walking long distance was hurting me. And I was like,
yeah, girl. That is so true. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just like, okay, so you're right. I mean, the baby steps matter. Cause I remember I didn't even want to do weight training and all of that. I didn't even want to walk.
You were like, no, just put it on me.
Right. So I love that. I love the importance of, like, you know, not getting overwhelmed, because you're right, everybody jump in, get so mm-hmm. excited, and then a week later they be like, oh yeah,
exactly.
So
and then,
yeah.
And then you be looking at other people's stuff too. That's one of the things. Girl, this social media society, good God almighty, like it has such a good place, however then it has such a sad work, and it's be so damaging if you're not aware and if you're not being conscientious about it. Because you look in there where everybody else showing you, but you ain't seeing everything. You won't see everything they do. And again, they showing you the part they want you to see. Some people, you know, can be a little candid and they be more transparent with stuff. But even with that, it's still not every moment, second of their life. So you don't know the other support systems they have, the other things they have in place. You know, somebody, you see the one girl who got 3 small kids who can go to the gym every day, but that ain't you, because you don't know that she got a whole, you know, nanny system, a husband, everybody else, but you single mom trying to do this. You can't do the same thing she doing. You don't have the same 24 hours. That's a lie. From the piss of hell, we all got 24 hours. Yeah, my 24 hours ain't yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's my 24 true. Hours and your 24 hours are set up differently, ma'am.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yes, that's a good point. Start with where you are and keep it moving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I feel like also things move in a season. Like I'm going every morning, like we talked about. I'm going to the gym every morning for this season of my life, but I probably will cut it down to maybe 4 days a week. I just want to go every day because I wanted to build a habit.
Oh, okay, good.
Of showing up, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's important. That's really, really important. So I know, of course, that your kids and your husband are not vegan. How does meal prep and not necessarily meal prep, but just how does dinner look for you? Are you cooking multiple meals? What are y'all doing?
Absolutely not. So, and that's a great question. I always get asked that. So I like to say that my family is veg curious, right? So
that's perfect.
Yeah. So they, because what they do is, of course, we, since I transitioned, initially, girl, in the beginning, yes, I was doing all that stuff. I was making 2 and 3 meals. Girl, I mean, I used to be so stressed out and so upset and yelling at the maid. And like, y'all need to eat this food, and I ain't making all this, and just upset because I was putting all this pressure on myself. And not realizing that at this point, what I had to come to the realization was that they love my cooking and the fact that I'm making something for them, cooking for them. And so I don't have to necessarily do all this extra stuff to stress myself out to in order for them to be able to enjoy the meal. I can introduce it to them. And because how they know, because sometimes what I realized too is that a lot of, even my own kids, is that they didn't know certain fruits and vegetables and foods because they wasn't introduced to it. So we assume they should know certain stuff, but we got to introduce it to them. I started bringing them in the kitchen with me too, which was a big like accomplishment because I don't want anybody in the kitchen with me. So I'd be wanting my own little time. So I started bringing them in the kitchen with me, and this in my motto with my family and my children specifically is because my husband at one point, believe it or not, he had claimed over as a vegetarian. But now he's more so like, because he realized it was a little more work than what he expected. So now he more so, I guess if he had to identify with something, he would say pescatarian. But he's more, all of them are more, they're conscious. They are health conscious. And they know we don't, and I have taken away certain stuff, certain groups from them. Like they don't eat red meat. We definitely left pork. I left pork a long way before I even went vegan. So we don't do pork. We don't do red meat. And they don't. Sometimes do chicken, but more so just fish or whatever, as far as meat. Yeah, a lot of them have. But when I cook, I'm cooking vegan. Like, y'all know mommy not gonna make those two meals. And the thing is, they've learned to embrace it and love it because I brought them into the kitchen and stuff with me. And they know that my goal with them has always been, when I started realizing my goal for them was to introduce them and educate them versus forcing it on them. Because I want them to make a decision probably that when they become, you know, grown and stuff like that, that they can make their own, they decide that this is a lifestyle they can do. That's why they want to do, because they can see it's doable and it's not hard, because mommy always made it seem easy. Mommy always did this, mommy always did that, so I can do that. So that's what I'm going to be able to receive from this. Versus me forced on them, like, because I could do that and took everything away. Like, we ain't eating this no more. We taking all this away. But I didn't want to do that because I realized I didn't want them to become resentful towards it and then be sneaking behind my back doing stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's how I did it too. I think that's really important. I mean, not forcing it on the kids, in my opinion. I mean, just like make sure the food is good and present it to them. The vegan food is good. Yeah.
And when my youngest, when I first started transitioning, my youngest was one. So he has his, well, I realized the difference though with him and the older girls is that his palate is more, he's more pliable. His palate is more, he doesn't like certain foods that they like because he was introduced to them, or he had a shorter time to actually even eat them versus, you know, like them. So
that does make a difference. Like when you get your kids to start, it makes a difference. Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to go with the brand Thick Vegan? And the reason I want to know this, right, is because people think, okay, so people already think that vegans are skinny, and we know that's just some BS. That's not necessarily true. Right. But then people really think that alkaline vegans are skinny. So what made you think, okay, Thick Vegan? Because I know when you first started your brand, you weren't necessarily alkaline, but what made you name your brand that?
Okay, so I'm not even really 100%. I wouldn't identify as alkaline now. It's just something more so, another goal that I've set in my wellness, you know, because the thing is, the coach is still needs coaching too, right? So just because we are coaches don't mean that I've always learned that you only like one or two steps ahead of your clientele anyway. So for me to keep on growing too, I got to keep on growing. So I believe that was the next step that I was given in my growth, in my healing, in my wellness journey, was to transition more so into alkaline lifestyle. But the Thick Vegan, that name, that is so funny because that's exactly where it happened. So what happened was, my first started the business. First, I just wasn't even looking to really start a business. What happened was, after, like I said, when I got diagnosed with all the different disorders that I was dealing with after the pregnancy, because what I had was, I became pre-diabetic. I was pre-diabetic. I had high blood pressure, like struggle level. Girl, them numbers was bad. High blood pressure, and this disorder called pseudotumor cerebri. which I had never heard of. And I was like, this sounds like death. But it basically is when your spinal cord, the fluid in your spinal cord is attacking your brain and causing pressure as if you have a tumor, hence the word pseudo. So I would get these excruciating headaches where I would have moments of blindness where I couldn't see nothing. And I had to go get like a MRI and a spinal tap monthly or every other month. It was really bad. And I was with a newborn, right? Like 6 weeks out. So it started with me just journaling, you know, because a friend of mine called me to talk every morning on her way to work. And she called me and we were talking. She was like, this is why I was on maternity leave and stuff. And she was like, you need to start journaling, Trishelle. She was like, I've been praying for you. You need to start journaling because that's really going to help you. And I was like, okay, all right. So I started, at first I didn't do it, and I did it. And as I started doing it, I started seeing the freedom of how it was really like, what's the word? Bringing off some weights and stuff. And I was actually just being able to be candid in my journaling and my writing and what was going on, how I was feeling for that day and with just overall things that was going on. And one day in that, I was in a hurry to start doing a YouTube channel just talking about what I was doing. Because maybe other women out here that were suffering with the same stuff I was dealing with. So it was called My Journey Back to Health. That was the YouTube page. It still is up. Actually, I need to get back into it. Like, I really needed to get back into it, doing some video. But, and people started reaching out to me, like, oh my God, I'm dealing with the same thing. You know, what did you? And I was just showing them what I was doing to heal and what I was doing to try to like combat this issue. Because I didn't know nothing about it. So fast forward, as I started on my my journey back to health, right? As I started realizing, that's when I was introduced to veganism and realizing our bodies do have the ability to heal themselves when we're equipped with the right foods. But a lot of times foods are not the foods that we knew growing up. You know, they weren't the meats. It's not the dairy, stuff like that. So I started doing more research and finding out that then start eliminating things from my diet and incorporating more different herbs and fruits and vegetables and stuff like that and see how my body was immediately able to respond to this stuff. So in that, I said, you know what? I'm going to no longer be, that was about maybe a year and a half into doing the My Journey Back to Health and kind of actually making it into a brand. I started doing getting people to do like a logo for me and stuff like that. And even a little website, I had a Facebook page, all that stuff like that. I was starting to make it into an official brand. It had like a little couple digital products. And so I was still learning. So in the midst of that, maybe like I just said, a year and a half in, I started realizing that I need to go. That's what I said in 2017. I said, I need to actually make this full transition because this is what's going to bring my body the healing that I need into going vegan. So I started telling people like, yeah, I'm going vegan. And I hadn't rebranded yet or nothing. But I was like, I'm going to go vegan. So I'm not eating this and that. People always look at me like, because back then I was a little more fluffier, right? So I was a little fluffier. But they would always look at me and be like, you vegan.
Right. People are something, aren't they?
Like, you vegan. Like, and I would be like, yes. And then so, and I would just, I remember I had went to this one, workshop or something that this lady was having, this naturopath, I forget how you say it, naturopath doctor, whatever, out here in Baltimore where I live. And I remember I was in there and I was like, yeah, cause I'm vegan. And by that time I had already made a decision. And I was like, I was still a few months in, but I was already receiving that. That's what I was going to do. So it was like, oh my gosh, you're vegan? I thought I want to be, I ain't never seen a vegan like you. So, you know, so when I decided that eventually I said, you know what, I want to rebrand. And I remember I talked to a cousin of mine who was really business savvy. And I was like, cousin, I want to rebrand. And this is the name I want to use. And I was like, he was like, okay, what's the name? And I said, The Thick Vegan. Girl, why he almost fell off his chair? And he was like, go with it. And I just chose that name because I'm going to use the very thing that people was using against me to make me feel some kind of way when I first was transitioning to actually use it for my benefit. I want people to realize that just like health and wellness doesn't come in the same shape and size, neither does veganism. Are coming all different shapes and sizes and colors as well. Because whenever you hear the word vegan, you always think about, you know, no offense, you know, skinny white person. But that's not what it is. That's not what it always is. So I wanted to take this name because it catches people's attention, but at the same time, it's a meaning behind it.
I love this. This is the perfect way to end this episode. Yes, that's a message.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us how we can come hang out with you on social media or anything else you want us to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So you can come check me out. Follow me on Instagram and TikTok at the_thick_vegan, as well as join my email list, because by going to bit.ly/workwithtrishelle, where you'll get all the updates. I send all weekly recipes, tips, and strategies as well.
Yes. Send me a link for all of it so that I can go ahead and put it on the show notes and on a blog post for this episode. It was so nice to talk to you. Are you going to be at Soul Fest this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to be presenting.
Are you? What are you doing? You're cooking or you're doing a talk?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be cooking.
I'm doing one too. So yes, we'll actually like formally meet then, because we've seen each other, but we didn't we didn't meet. So then
Yes, I'm excited.
Yes, thank you so much for being on.
Yes, thank you, Monique.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.